Hey everybody, this is Amber Bradley.
And this is Kevin Trimble.
Thanks for joining us on today's TalkLP.com podcast.
We're glad you're joining us, and today we have a great guest. It's Terry Sullivan from the Loss Prevention Foundation. Terry, thanks so much for joining us.
Kevin, thanks for having me on. Hi, Amber. How are you? Real excited about the opportunity to talk with you guys today.
Well, I think we're going to keep it kind of high level. We want to make it as informative as possible for our listeners. The Loss Prevention Foundation has been around for 10 years, but we want to know a little bit about you, and then we'll jump into the Loss Prevention Foundation and some of the benefits behind it.
Sounds great. So about me, pretty simple. 30-year loss prevention veteran. Truly blessed to do 30 years of service to our industry. Only worked for two companies. I started, as a lot of people did in our industry, as a single store loss prevention agent in Boston, Mass. Like I said, many years ago for American Drug Stores, Osco Drug, and had the opportunity to elevate my career and take a promotion to the Los Angeles area. So I had to travel 3,000 miles to get it, but when I was about 25, had an opportunity to go to the West Coast and spent 14 years in California. So my career with American Drug Stores lasted 14 years and had an opportunity while I was out there to join Lowe's as a regional loss prevention director. So spent about 4 years with Lowe's out there and was offered an opportunity to come to where I live now, which is Mooresville, North Carolina, at a senior leadership level with Lowe's, and spent 15 years with Lowe's prior to taking the role I have now, which is leading the efforts of the LP Foundation. I was given this opportunity about 6 months ago.
Well, that's awesome. That's really awesome. And I think your journey is really interesting. I think that there's so many people out there with all different levels of experience in this industry. And some folks have been around 30 years like yourself. Others have started less than a year ago, and they're just getting their feet wet right now, whether it's a single store detective or some local level that they're journeying into this loss prevention and asset protection world. So hearing kind of the evolution of your career is always good and great information for people to see that that's how it happens. And the one thing that we could always make into a different show at a later time is it's all about that flexibility. And you hit the nail on the head as you took the journey to California, 3,000 plus miles away. And sometimes that's how doors open for people. So thanks for sharing that. Appreciate it very much.
You bet.
Well, let's jump into the Loss Prevention Foundation. Tell me a little bit about the background of the foundation. Again, I think I mentioned early on, it's been around 10 years, if I remember correctly, but tell me kind of what the focus and what the initiative is.
Yeah, so the focus of the foundation really is education, giving an accreditation to what we do as a profession in loss prevention and asset protection. You know, 10, 11 years ago, several loss prevention leaders got together to launch really qualified courses, accredited courses in the LPQ, the LP Qualified, and the LPC, Loss Prevention Certified, to be able to give a professional accreditation to our industry. Today, we have over 1,900 people with either the LPQ or the LPC. And, you know, we're a very small organization, not for profit, a lot of responsibility out there with a small team to be able to make a large impact on our industry every single day. And, you know, given this opportunity, you know, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do as my next chapter within loss prevention, but I knew I wanted to do something that gave a greater purpose and to really take a look back at my career. I've been very lucky and blessed, like I said, only working for two companies and having several different roles but senior leadership roles in the last 20 years of my profession, something that I could pay forward. And I think, you know, leading the charge at the foundation for me personally is not only purposeful, but I get to pay forward a career that I had, having all the levels like you talked about, Kevin, right? From an in-store agent to an area loss prevention manager to a regional manager to a director, supporting at times, whether it was, you know, 20 stores to 600 stores to, you know, several million in sales to 20 billion in sales. You know, so there's so many people in our industry with all different types of facets within loss prevention, whether you're in hard lines or you're in soft lines and restaurants. And, you know, I mean, it's endless with the amount of individuals that are in the LPAP profession. And this helps people get a more well-rounded focus within loss prevention. And that's really what the foundation is all about. Is really, you know, our motto is to educate, you know, one person at a time. And it's truly that. It's really about investing in yourself and investing in our industry.
I'll tell you, Terry, a lot of folks that I talk to, and their first question is with the sea of alphabets out there, right, for you to be able to get some kind of accreditation or certification, I always get, what should I go for first? You know, people ask, is it CFI? Is it LPC, LPQ? And proud to say, by the way, I had to give myself a plug. I am an LPQ. I passed that test. I was sweating bullets, man. It was not easy. It was not easy for not a practitioner, I will have to say.
Right. Amber.
See? What's up now? Anyway.
Look at you.
After I give myself pats on the back. But, you know, seriously, it is a question because I think people look at time and value. Because if anyone out there says, look, I'd love to be an LPC, I just don't have the time. But if you said to them, I would give you $1 million if you got your LPC certification, they'd probably make the time, right? So it's really about value. And so talk to us a little bit about knowing that LPF is like Switzerland, right? I mean, you're not really in competition because it's all about education. So if you could just talk a little bit about what LPC and LPQ focuses on, maybe versus an ASIS certification or the CFI, right? Like, talk to us a little bit about that. I think our audience is curious if they're considering which one to go for.
So that's a great question. And, you know, and I'm learning as I go. On one hand, as I look at in the last 6 months, I've been running and leading the charge of a foundation. On the other hand, I'm learning all about the Loss Prevention Foundation. I wasn't a subject matter expert when I took this role. I am LPC certified, very proud to be LPC certified, but you know, I'm learning of what the great history has been and also planning out how do we evolve this going forward. And one of the things that I've learned along the way is there's only so much money to go around, right? And there's only so much time to go around. So your question is valid, right? So, if I'm newer in LP, or I'm an area loss prevention manager, or I'm a regional director, or I'm just coming out of college and I'm interested in a criminal justice background or interested in retail loss prevention, asset protection, you do have choices. And you look at CPP with as is, it's a great accreditation, but it's more of a security focus, more of a security background and education focus, where the CFI with Wicklander, you know, is a certified forensic investigator and interrogator. And you look at kind of the crux of loss prevention, well-trained loss prevention investigators. And for most of us within this in the industry that have achieved an area manager, district loss prevention manager, you've had the opportunity to do employee interviews, right? Employee interviews, unfortunately, is the nature of the beast. And CFI really gives you that accreditation to take you to the next level beyond just the certification that you get when you take a two-day Wicklander course. So you do have a lot of people that do lean that way because they do a lot of interviews for a living. That's part of their job. And I got to tell you, and I got to give a shout out to Wayne Hoover. You know, Wayne runs the CFI program over at Wicklander. My first couple of months on the job, I reached out to Wayne. I said, hey, Wayne, I'm running this foundation and certification, and I have a bunch of questions about certification. How do you do it? What are your thoughts? I'd like to pick your brain. I'm going to be in Chicago, and Kevin and Amber, I got to tell you, he was just more than willing to meet with me, chat with me. We had lunch, shared some things with me, gave me some great insights. And you know, sure, we're competing for everybody's dollar, right? Because as I said, you know, we're not for profit. We don't have millions of dollars out there to run the foundation. But at the same time, you know, what we're competing for a different dollar, where a CFI is maybe more direct on, you know, exactly what you're getting to become a certified forensic interviewer. With LPQ and LPC, it's different, right? So it becomes, you know, with the entire profession of asset protection and loss prevention, it makes you well-rounded in so many different areas that you study for outside of just traditional security and loss prevention and external theft and internal theft and operational losses as well. It really branches out into different aspects, such as leadership and for business continuity. You know, how do you interact maybe with the C-suite when you're dealing with the LPC, for example, and with the LPQ, maybe it's somewhere like, you know, how do you prepare for your next stage in loss prevention, such as even something as simple as maybe as a job interview, but also understanding the basics parameters within loss prevention or asset protection with the LPQ. So, you know, these certifications you take with you forever, which I think is which is great. You know, with the LPQ, there's no CEUs, there's no continued education. You take your LPQ, Amber, which you have and you know, and your LPQ for life, and no one can take that away from you. And the LPC, because it's a higher level of accreditation, there are continuing education units that you do need to achieve 20 hours a year to keep your certification, to keep you relevant within our industry, to make sure that, you know, as trends change and our industry evolves, that you evolve with that, with the LPC. So when you look at some of these different accreditations that you had mentioned out there, yep, we're in competition every day for everybody's dollar, but it is a different certification for sure.
So Terry, I got to tell you, this conversation went from good to great for a couple of reasons here. So Amber and I think we're both focused on, you know, our industry. I think we both are maintaining our relationships and growing those relationships. But I think we also have two different backgrounds in the industry. And when we got together and started to put together the thoughts behind Talk LP and really what the podcast was focused on, really my passion is the growth and the evolution of people. And I love the fact that, you know, not only you have a great story about your own evolution, but now here you are, you know, responsible for a program that's doing just that and teaching people so much more than just the standard basic 101 of loss prevention, asset protection. There really is so much more to this industry, and you hit the nail on the head. Can you interact with others? Can you speak their language? You know, do you really understand a P&L? Do you have full overview and understanding of how this business runs, or are you just chasing people down dark alleys?
Right, and there's so many different levels of learning within both the LPQ and LPC, but you know, Amber, you had mentioned something that's critical, and that's time. And somebody taught me many years ago, it doesn't matter, you know, how fast you can run or how high you can jump or how smart you are. The greatest equalizer that we all have is we all have 24 hours in a day. No more, no less. Doesn't matter who you are or what you do. We all have the same amount of time. What you choose to do with your time is 110% up to you. And you know, when you think about the LPC, it was hard. It was hard for me to be able to find the time, to find the balance with my day job, with my family, as well as study to get this certification. But it was so worth the time. And I look at our industry leaders that have taken the time to do this. And you look at our board of directors, you know, then I could go on and on about a lot of people on our board. But recently, Dennis Wamsley, the director of LP over Publix, he was our most recent board member to finish. The year before, Mark Stindy from 7-Eleven got his LPC. Scott Glenn from Sears got his LPC. And, you know, they're busy folks, just like a lot of busy individuals within our industry, but they found the time, you know, to get the hours of coursework in, to do the studying like you did, Amber, to do the LBQ, same thing with you, right? With a family, yeah. With a job. So you know what that's like. And And I think it's just about the choices, right? The choices that you do to get through that. And like you said, like anything, when you hit the finish line and when you do take that proctored exam and when you do pass with your LPQ or LPC, it's very, very rewarding that the time was well spent.
Speaking of time, how much time would it take somebody from start to finish to obtain their LPC or their LPQ? And I imagine it may be different for both.
It is. The LPQ has three courses all online and has 25 chapters within those three courses. And typically takes people about 30 to 40 hours, Kevin, to complete. And once they complete that, as I mentioned, they have to take a proctored exam to get their LPQ. The LPC has six courses, and there are 41 different sections within the LPC. And that typically takes 40 to 60 hours, probably 50 to 60 hours to get through that. But you know what? It is online learning, and people do learn differently. So you may have a lot of folks that are on the 40 hours. You may have some folks who are on the 60 hours, but both do require that you pass the proctored exam to get your accreditation.
So is the LPQ, is it a prerequisite in order to get to LPC?
It's not. When you do apply online, there is, there are certain thresholds that you do need to hit to qualify for each course. But if there are folks out there, there are even college grads that that feel that they're up for the challenge of the LPC, they can do that. But we do recommend that they have at least 3 years of loss prevention experience prior to taking the LPC. But we do evaluate individuals. Some people may have a policing background and only 1 year with loss prevention, or a different type of security background. And so we look at all the applications and make the exceptions where we need to make sure that people are placed where they feel most comfortable. We also don't want someone to spend money and something maybe that they're really going to struggle with, and maybe at the end of the day, they don't pass.
Yeah, one of the things too is I found it very smart on the Loss Prevention Foundation's part to make the LPQ not really associated with LPC, because if you're starting your career, new to LP, it makes sense to start with the LPQ and then kind of work your way up in your career and then move into the LPC as kind of like, that secondary step, which, in loss prevention, I think this is changing. But when I first got into loss prevention industry, it wasn't a very, a lot of people didn't have secondary education. And so, I think the LPC serves as a really good way to round out their careers, both from an education and certification perspective, that I think has become really valued in the industry now. Because, just like with anything new, when you first start, I've been an LP almost 12 years now. Everything's a little like, okay, what's this? But over the years, you've just seen the Loss Prevention Foundation just shoot up, into that. Oh yeah. Yeah, of course you get your LPC. It's now becoming a requirement when people are putting their job descriptions out there, which is a great thing to see.
It certainly is. And I'll tell you, early on, about 4 months ago, I had an opportunity to sit down and meet with the VP of Loss Prevention for CVS, Quimby Squire. And it was great to meet Quimby. She's really into analytics and brings a whole different thought process and methodology to inventory shrinkage over at CVS. And as I was preparing for my meeting with her, pulling up a bunch of stuff, my wife actually works for CVS. She's been there 30 years, and I'm a former drugstore guy. So I was very comfortable getting ready for this meeting. And one thing the foundation, I think, did a great job of years ago was working with retailers to say, is there a way to put LPQ and LPC preferred as part of a job description for hiring LP professionals? And they did a great job with that. And there was about 75 companies that were listed that I found when I came on board with the foundation. And I went and Googled, or went on to one of the job, Indeed, I believe it was. And I found that there was a regional loss prevention manager posting for CVS in Indiana. And I pulled it up, I printed it out, and lo and behold, it had LPQ, LPC preferred on the job description. And I brought that with me. And when I was talking through the foundation with Quimby, I was able to show that to her and point that out to her. And she really, really, really helped her connect the dots, if you will. And so it's not only companies like CVS and their, Walmarts and so many different companies out there that do use LPC and LPQ as a preferred hiring requirement. So that's really neat. There's still a lot of work to do with that. And as people change and recruiters change and job descriptions change, those are the challenges of trying to keep up with that, with these individual companies. Because sometimes when new people come in and they rewrite job descriptions or they rewrite a job posting and they go, LPC, LPQ, I'm an HR professional, I'm really not sure what that is, I'm going to just delete it. So all the work you did to try to get that there sometimes goes by the wayside. But I think persistence and continuing to market the importance of the LPC and the LPQ will continue to allow that to get more recognized by loss prevention leaders and people with the decisions to hire.
Well, let me ask you this, Terry. How many people right now in the past 10 or 11 years are actually LPC or LPQ? Do you guys happen to have that number?
So we are very close to 2,000. So we're 1,900 and change. 2,000 will be a big milestone for the foundation. And we should hit that sometime this spring, Kevin. For me, though, you know, I don't want to take – so the foundation was founded 10, 11 years ago, but it took a lot of work. Over 200 people and 100-plus companies coming together to help write the content for the LPQ and LPC. And really, the certification went live, just about 5 years ago. So it took about 5 years to get, 1,900, let's call it 2,000. I'd like to see us, double that number in the next 2 to 3 years. There's no reason why we can't. And I think part of our strategy or the strategy of the foundation is just from a marketing standpoint and a branding standpoint, that we just need to make sure that people understand what the foundation is all about. And we're there to help continue not only to support the industry, but to educate the industry. And I would love to see us just double and triple the numbers of LPQs and LPCs.
How about international exposure? Has any international loss prevention, asset protection people jumped on any of the certifications yet?
So great question. And that is one of the learnings that I am learning as we go, right? So yeah, again, the folks before me, Gene Smith especially, got to give Gene a shout out. I'd be remiss not to. I mean, Gene spent 10 years at the helm here of the foundation and made it what it is today. Gene, working with Kevin McMinimum from the media group, we do have representation specifically in the UK. So there's a UK version of the LPC. And we have gotten some ground over there. There's 100-plus certified internationally, Kevin, but there's room to grow. There are several different countries that have people that are certified, but the UK focus was really the first launch at international. There's been talks about looking at South America. There's been talks about looking at Spain and some other countries out there. My core focus right now is with the U.S. Not that we're not going to look at international, but I still think there's a long way to go and to grow our presence here in the U.S. And as I stated before, being a small foundation, there's only so many hours and so many resources. And I want to make sure that in my backyard here in the U.S. is where my core focus is.
You're looking at broader scope of the foundation and kind of what's next. And I think whenever you get into a new position and a new role and you're learning new things, you're kind of like, okay, let's look at strategically what's next. What are the top, few initiatives on your plate as far as going through 2018 for the foundation?
Great question, Amber. I'll tell you, number one, and super excited to announce this, we are going to launch a new website here in the next 60 days. In perfect world, we hope to have that launched at RILA. So I think the LPF website in its time, I think, was probably fantastic, but it's a little outdated, a little too much information, not easy to navigate. And I want to have a website out there that's easy for 8-year-olds and 80-year-olds to navigate. And really, that was kind of the direction that I gave to my team as we go forward building this website. So we're going to launch the new Loss Prevention Foundation website and also the LPF app. And that is going to be launched, like I said, at RILA. And you know what? I'm not a marketing genius. And I've been to the RILAs and the NRFs and the trade shows through the years. And part of me is, kind of sitting there at night saying, how do I get people to come to the foundation booth? How do I get people to understand that, it's worth stopping at the booth? So we're going to do some unique things this year to attract people. And it may be something as simple as, come by and show us that you've downloaded the app to the LP Foundation and we'll enter you into a raffle to win a certification or maybe an iWatch. If anybody out there wants to donate an iWatch to the foundation, we'll surely raffle it off at RILA, but the website is big to me. I think people need to be able to go on. We talked about time. Time is precious. You need to go onto our website, find what you're looking for, get off, and move on to bigger and better things. So that's one. From a branding standpoint, I'm super excited to announce that we are going to be hosting a golf event at NRF this year, and that is going to be Swing for Certification. So we're inviting all retailers and all solution providers to come together and support the LP Foundation. The money raised for this event is going to be for LPQ and LPC scholarships. Also, we're going to give some money to the Loss Prevention Benevolent Fund, And the legacy sponsor of this event for years was USS, the USS Foundation. And they are stepping aside from this event, and we will also donate some monies to that foundation, helping children that Adele did so well for so many years. So that's another one we're very excited about. Growing membership. So we have a membership of about 1,000 strong at the foundation. You know, how do we take that to 5,000? It's another challenge to myself and to my team. You know, how do we make people see the value in becoming a member of the Loss Prevention Foundation? So that's another launch that's going to come in 2018 on the backs of our new website, to be able to show value, to be able to not only educate through the LPQ and the LPC, but we're going to go back to webinars and have them at least quarterly, and hope to get webinars launched and sponsored, you know, from folks, whether it be leaders in our industry, whether it's people from our board or other LP leaders, solution providers out there that want to talk about some of the new solutions that they're working on and they're launching, some of our partners here at the LPF. So we're very excited to do that. Years ago, the foundation did a great job, from what I understand, launching what they called was Education Days, where they would pick a city and invite solution providers and invite loss prevention professionals to speak for 6 to 8 hours and break it up into 7 or 8 different presentations. And we'd like to be able to do that this year as well, to get some folks. And like you said, this would be from any level within loss prevention, in-store folks or to district people, to regionals, for any and all retailers and solution providers. So we're looking to do that this year. Those are some of the big launches that we're looking to do. And then as a side project, we are launching Loss Prevention Foundation, so LPF certified courses. And two for sure you're going to see this year. One is a disengagement course. As you know, violent crime continues to rear its ugly head, and it's going up. It's not going down. So this course is called Addressing Disruptive Behaviors, and it really teaches disengagement. How do you take a bad situation and disengage it, whether it's at a refund desk, whether it's just a customer having a bad day, whether it's somebody coming in stealing from your store and looking to harm somebody or overreact. How do we take it and teach our employees to disengage and not engage? And that's almost done. We've partnered with Walmart on that, and we're very excited. We're going to be completing that with Walmart in the next 30 days and be launching that on our website as well as a certificate course for ORC. And you know, ORC continues to morph and evolve, as everybody knows. And this is more of a kind of a holistic approach to organized retail crime from an education standpoint. It takes about 3 hours to get through, and we should be launching that in the next. It's completed. It's just getting it up and running. So probably the next 60 days, you'll see a press release on that, and they'll also be found at our website on lossprevention.foundation.org. So those are some of the big nuggets that we're working on right now.
Well, Terry, you weren't kidding. You got your hands full, and there's a lot of exciting things happening. And I'll tell you, this has been a great conversation. I knew it was going to be informative, and I knew that you had a lot of good things happening. But I'll tell you what, I'm completely impressed with what you've done in a short amount of time and what you're working on, and I'm excited to see the future.
Thank you. I'm excited to see it too, Kevin.
Yep.
That's my goal, is to be able to look back once the 1 year anniversary of being able to take this role, to see, you know, what impact have myself and the team and the board of directors been able to make within our industry, and learn from it, and to continue to evolve the LP Foundation. And it's opportunities like this, Kevin and Amber. I really appreciate the invite to come talk to you guys about some of the great things that we're doing over here at the LPF.
Well, we're grateful for your time, and really, we look forward to catching up with you again in the future. And as some of these accomplishments are made and some of the growth initiatives take place, you're certainly welcome back anytime to talklp.com. We'd love to talk with you about what next steps are for even next year. But thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and look forward to keeping in touch.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to talklp.com.
Please visit our website at talklp.com to submit any topics you might be interested in hearing more about.